2 Peter, the third chapter, hear now the word of our Lord. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both, which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that was then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the days of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, under their own destruction. We therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen.
Has everybody got their New Year's resolution made? Already breaking it. Well, you know, the Lord has a new resolution, and I want to talk about that a little bit today. We heard a little of it in what Dave read in 2 Peter about a new heaven and a new earth. And I have been asked to give this lesson again. I did this about 2 years ago, and I've given it at one of the conferences that I'd been asked to speak at. And I'd asked to do it again here, and I'm going to do it, but the person that asked me is not here, so I'm going to do it anyway. And that is the purpose of the ages. So, first off, turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3, and there's a verse there that I want to look at to get started. Ephesians chapter 3. Page 1764 in the Companion Bible. Ephesians chapter 3. And it's a short verse. It's verse 11. And it says there, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let me ask you something. What is the eternal purpose that was purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord? What in the world is God up to? Are we merely just floating and spinning here in space? Are we a part of that purpose, the eternal purpose? Are we dressed up with nowhere to go? What is the eternal purpose? Well, you know what? Nobody knows. Nobody knows what is the eternal purpose. And the reason for that is the word here, eternal, is the Greek word aion. It's spelled A-I-O-N. It is aion. It's A-I-O-N. Aion. And that is the word there that has been translated eternal. Now the word eternal, if you look that word aion up in a Greek dictionary, it can be translated eternal. It can be translated forever. It's sometimes translated everlasting. It is translated beginning of. It is sometimes translated course. It is sometimes translated world. But if you look aion up in a Greek dictionary, the very first meaning in that Greek dictionary is age or ages. And if you read this verse that we just read about the eternal purpose in a Greek Bible, and now in a lot of English Bibles, because as time goes on, we have found a lot better translation of words than when this King James Version was translated back in 1400 or whenever it was. In a Greek Bible, that verse reads, according to the purpose of the ages which he made in Christ Jesus the Lord. According to the purpose of the age, a period of time, not eternal. Now, eternal purpose, it has a grand sound. It smacks of in reality and indefectibility. It makes for great drama. It has a Star Wars type of feeling about it. However, the translation here is a double negative, and it gives the wrong impression, because the noun aion is translated as though it were an adjective, and eternal is put where age should be. The Bible does not speak of eternity. It is not written to tell us of such. Eternity is outside the scope of Scripture. There's no doubt a lot of wonderful things to be learned about eternity, but the Scripture does not teach us about eternity. It's speculation at this point. They are idle and worthless speculation, because the Bible does not teach much before or beyond the age. The Bible that you have in your hand is with regard to an age, a period of time, and that is the time between the creation in Genesis 1 and the new heaven and the new earth in Revelation. So what is the age purpose then? What's the age purpose for? When does it begin? When does it end? Well, the first thing we have to look at is a couple of scriptures. First, look at Romans chapter 16, page 1694 in the Companion Bible. Romans chapter 16. And we're going to look at quite a few scriptures this morning to get the essence of what the age purpose actually is. In that 16th chapter of Romans, go down to the 25th verse. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Since the world. Now there is the same word, aion. It's since the age began. In 2 Timothy 1:9, we have the same thing. If you'll turn over a couple of books to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, It says, "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." And there again is the word aion, before the age began. And in these two scriptures, we can see that aion, or world, or the ages, has a beginning or a start time. It has nothing to do with eternity, because things that are eternal have no beginning. So we can see in these verses that age is really the way this should be translated, because it has a start time. Eternity has no start time. It has no end. The age, or the ages, is the world that we know begins in the creation in Genesis chapter 1. And when you learn then this little deal about the word aion, not only is world looked at differently, but also age and other expressions, like in the scripture you see this world. It's really this age. Terms like the end of the world. It's the end of the age. The world to come, or the age to come. These things take on a whole different meaning in scripture if you understand what the true meaning of aion is. So it becomes necessary to distinguish the difference between time and place when looking at the word aion in scripture. Just as the ages and the world have a beginning, they also have an end. And we pretty much see that in scripture from Genesis through to the end. Take a look at 2 Corinthians. You're at Timothy. Back up a couple of books back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And here that word's not aion, that is eternal. You see, everything is temporary in this age. Only the invisible is permanent. And that temporary nature is seen in the Old Testament in the tabernacle. They didn't have the temple with a foundation, they had a tabernacle. And they could roll this tabernacle up and move on through the wilderness when they left Egypt. So even in the tabernacle, you begin to see that that is temporal. It's not permanent. And we see this in Isaiah. Turn back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, page 981, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22. "It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretched out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in." So here we begin to see that the heavens have been stretched out. They're as a tent. And I'll show you here verses where it shows us that's to be rolled back up again. Move over to chapter 42 of Isaiah. We get the same essence in chapter 42. Verse 5, "Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein." And there we see he stretched them out. The same concept of unfolding like a scroll. Everything that is temporal. Chapter 44 of that same book, Isaiah chapter 44. Go down to verse 24. "Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from thy womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretched forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself." We see the same thing in Zechariah, page 1292, Zechariah chapter 12. Page 1292. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretched forth the heavens, and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. All these verses, plus dozens of others, show that the heavens have been stretched out. And those heavens stretched out are during the age time. It's from the beginning of this age to the end of this age is that stretched out and the earth put therein. Now, we can see that that's going to be rolled back up again. That's going to be done away with. So look in chapter 34 of Isaiah. We've got to go back to Isaiah again. Isaiah chapter 34. Isaiah chapter 34. Verse 4, and all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all of their hosts shall fall down as the leaf falleth off from the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree. We find that same thing in Revelation chapter 6. Go to the last book of your Bible, Revelation chapter 6. Verse 14, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and every island were moved out of their place. And this is what John in Revelation has. He's forward in the future. He is seeing what will happen where the heavens are rolled back up as they have been rolled out. And then one other reference to this is in Hebrews chapter 1. Back up a couple of books to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 10. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hath laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands, and they shall perish. But thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shall thou fold them up. And they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. There's lots of verses like this that show that something's occurred. Something's been put there during this age time. And that is going to be taken away. But the interesting thing is within this age period of time, there is a gap that has occurred. Between Genesis 1:1, where it says God created the heavens and the earth, we know, according to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 18, that it was created perfect. There was nothing wrong with it. It says he does not create in vain. He does not create void. He creates that which is perfect. And yet we find imperfection within this creation. And it comes about, you see it in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, where it says, and the earth became without form and void. What happened? Well, iniquity. Satan was cast out to this age, period of time. And in Genesis, there's a rent in God's perfect creation. Is referred to in Genesis as katabole, or an overthrow. Some catastrophic event caused this void that was in the earth. And God created and redid that and made it perfect again to put man into. This is where Satan enters into this age in which we live. And I have developed an illustration. I love to do this. If this illustrates God's perfect creation and his perfect plan, here's what happened when the earth became without form and void when sin entered. There was a rent in God's perfect creation. Something went askew when Satan entered. There's no explanation in Genesis for this. Moses didn't know, but eventually other scriptures made it clear that at this point, iniquity came into the age in which we live. Here, on this, is the beginning of the age. Here is the end of the age with a new heaven and a new earth. And where are we today? We're right there in the rent. We're in the gap where iniquity, Satan and his fallen angels, entered into God's perfect creation. In this rent sets the present six-day creation of Genesis chapter 1. It is a place, it is placed there as a repair, if you will, to carry the redemptive purpose of God to the threshold of eternity. And it is here in Scripture now that the fuller goes to work. What is the fuller? It's in the Scripture. The fuller. You must understand that God is preparing during this age a piece of new fold cloth for a perfect universe once again. The rent will be rolled away. God will be all in all, or completeness will be achieved. We can see that in Matthew chapter 9 and other scriptures, but just look at, I'm going to show you about three of them that have reference to this. Matthew chapter 9, verse 16. No man putteth a piece of new cloth into an old garment. For that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Mark chapter 2 refers to the same thing. Mark chapter 2, verse 21. No man also seweth a piece of new cloth on an old garment, else the new piece that filleth it up take away the old, and the rent is made worse. Luke refers to it. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verse 36, and this is Christ speaking. And he spake also a parable unto them. No man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old, if otherwise then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And so we see this concept of this rent and this gap that has been put into the age that we live in. Now, I don't know if you understand about the fulling of cloth. All cloth that is made goes through the fulling process. The cloth is stomped, smashed with nitrate and lye. It's teased, it's scourged, it's carded, which means they flatten it with heat and an iron. It's shrunken, stretched, it's washed. It's calendared. It is a process. In the process, it loses its original hardness. And there is no completeness of making cloth without the fuller. And in Scripture, it turns out that Christ is the fuller. And it is also the fulfillment of God's purpose for the ages, and that is a new piece of age, if you will, as a result of the fact that the old one now is permeated with sin as a result of Satan. Examples of the process in Scripture can be found in several places. I will suggest two for your thinking. Look at Mark, we're in Luke, back up to the book of Mark, chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. And look at verse 3. And his raiment became shining and exceedingly white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can whiten them. So here we're referring to the fuller that would whiten cloth. But the other there's other references, but the one that I want to read you, and I'm going to tell you where it's at, but I'm going to read it myself. It's in Malachi. And everybody knows these verses, I think. I think you'll recognize the verses that I'm about to read. But it's the last phrase that I don't want to read. Malachi, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire." Do you recognize that? It's in Handel's Messiah. Anybody that's ever heard the Messiah knows that famous, as a matter of fact, it's a baritone solo. I've sung it many times. "For he is like a refiner's fire." But how many know the last phrase of that verse? Nobody knows it, because Handel didn't put it in there. What is the last phrase of that verse? "But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap." Like fuller's soap. And so we see the great Jesus Christ of this age is like fuller's soap, like the filling or the filling of cloth. Now, in our study this morning, we come to a word that is of extreme importance in Scripture. It is a word that characterizes that which is to come as a result of the fuller. And remember what I said about the filling of cloth? It's not pretty. It's rigorous. The word that we're looking at is a word that is in direct contrast to that which is desolate, that which is wasted, that which is flooded, on fire, without void, without form. It is a word that is used when speaking of the new creation, the new man, the new covenant, the new heaven, and the new earth. However, until this word comes to fruition, we, you, and I are subject to the rigorous process of God's plan as described in the fulling of cloth. The process includes the apparent necessity for suffering, buffeted by feelings of frustration as described by Job, situations that we live in, situations described in Scripture as sickness, tragedy, quaking of the earth, flooding, sorrow, desolation, sin and unbelief, trouble everywhere, war. And to see this extremely important word, turn in Ephesians to chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us ward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body. There it is, the word, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The word there is pleroma, a Greek word which means completeness, newness. Here, Paul is talking about the rent that is removed forever. The fullness of Godhead dwells in Christ in heavenly places. There it is untouched by the rent of Genesis 1:2. The purpose of the age is complete. There's no patch on the old earth in the rent. The redemption process is complete. Here we find a new heaven and a new earth wherein righteousness dwells and where Christ is all in all. No more death, no more sorrow, no more suffering, no more pain. Those that remaining at that point are only those who have believed that Christ was the Son of God, the fuller of the age in which we live. I think you've heard me say, anyone that has lived in this life and gone through the tragedies and the sorrows and the suffering that we all live through, once reaching this position, will never ever wish to return to the flesh. But that's exactly what Satan and the fallen angels did. They did not believe God. They knew that God exists, but they did not believe what he taught them. And they left their natural estate. And they took on bodies. And they had children with women. Because they looked upon them, on the daughters of men, and saw that they were desirable. And they left their estate that they were made in. And God threw them out of heaven. Anyone who has now suffered through this life will no longer be enticed to return to it once they're taken into this new age where God is all in all. The nice thing is, it never passes away. It then becomes eternal. And this age that we live in is past. Now, you may have a lot of questions about all of this. I'm not going to start into that. But if you do, I'd be glad to speak to you about it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love towards us. We again are grateful for, especially this time of year, for the advent of your Son into the world. We're thankful for the salvation that we have through him, through his death, through his resurrection. We ask that you will continue to give us understanding with regard to this magnificent record, the scriptures that you have left us. Help us to grow and understand in the grace and the knowledge of you. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.